they've dealt with that separate from adult incarceration, and they've reached a similar conclusion.
They've reached conclusions. I wouldn't attempt to compare the conclusions in the adult system versus the juvenile system, but I know that there are clear references to case law when constitutional issues of confinement are raised regarding detention facilities.
So I suppose we ought to change the word conditions of incarceration to conditions of juvenile detention, and at least to be consistent with mm-hmm. the additional cases you're referring to. Then the other, the one standard then that's posed here is to release those that pose the least threat to public safety. Mm-hmm. Now there are two reasons for detention. That's one of them. The other one is to be sure the kid is there when you're ready to deal with him. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we somehow work that second standard in here so that your first test would be public safety, and then you'd fall back to a second test, which would be those who could be released under the first test but are the least likely to run away or whatever?
I'd have no objection to that. There also will be offenders in detention who are post-adjudicatory detention, who are in possibly as a short-term condition of probation or in response to violation of a condition, and they would also be subject to the conditions.
Right, which is another good reason why it perhaps mm-hmm. ought to be a separate bill.
I'd have no,
deals with the other mm-hmm. as well. But whether in this bill or in another bill, I think probably
the issues the
points
same.
Need to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Senator Hill.
Madam Chair, I really don't feel that the people before us have really done everything that they could to bring this bill into form. I mean, we're all over the place on this bill, and I think that they have a duty to bring things to a point, and then we make the decisions, but I just don't see that. I mean, we're all over the place on this. We are talking about language now that's not LC, and there's just no agreement. And I just think that if they want this bill, then they should be able to agree, maybe not come to total agreement, but they should be able to agree a lot more than they're agreeing right now. And we're being asked to make choices all over the place.
Well, I think there are some policy choices that this committee needs to think about making, and I hear at least two or three people who have already sort of made some policy choices, and it's time to sort of give some direction. I don't mind giving some direction to people to say, to either decide on Senator Brennerman is wants to move the Multnomah County amendments, and I think that we might have a vote on that and see what people want to do, and if it is turns out to say it gets voted down and people say, well, we want it in a different bill, then we can go send somebody off to work on it. I'm happy to, I think that we need to give some direction, though, to them. These are a little bit different than some.
Well, Madam Chair, may I ask then, with respect to that, the concerns that Mr. Swank has brought up, are we going to address those? Are those things that we should address? I mean, even on that issue, there are some differences. Just on the one, I'm willing to, let's vote. That's what I just think if those are legitimate things, this is the first time we've heard about them.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I think those are very good reasons why the Multnomah County Amendment should not be included within 562. It's a new idea to most of the people at that table and certainly to us, and I think it deserves its separate consideration and attempt to get consensus upon. And we're going to hurt 562 by trying to stuff it in there. So I'm going to vote against the proposal.
Okay. So I gather then, we'll propose these in concept, Senator Brennerman, and unless you want to withdraw.
There were a couple of language changes that Senator Shoemaker recommended that I think should be incorporated, but
we're just doing conceptually.
Yeah. Well, we have. I want to get a vote here to see whether people want to include it.
Well, we'll see if we want to include it in the bill. If we don't want to include it in the bill, then I think it goes back to Mr. To work it over and bring it back to us in some form where we can think through it more systematically.
Senator Brennerman, let's go ahead. Senator Brockman?
Well, I'd say even if, I don't know whether the motion is going to pass or fail, but I'd like to see it reworked properly even if it passes.
especially if it passes. I can guarantee you that. But I don't want to have staff and everybody do a lot of work on it if this committee has no interest, or if this committee says we absolutely don't want it on this bill and come back another time. So the quickest way I know of is to accept Senator Brenham's motion and with the understanding, and we'll vote it up or down and see where we are and have a discussion on it. Senator Drensky.
I'm wondering if everyone's convinced that the bill that passed the Senate last week doesn't already cover juvenile detention facilities. As I recall, the definition of the facility to be examined was rather broad, and is someone convinced that it doesn't include this? You are. You're nodding your head yes back there? Okay. Well.
Yes. Okay, it doesn't. Okay.
No more chairs.
We don't want another chair on this. Okay, let's see whether we're interested in adopting Senator Brenham's conceptual amendment to include at least the suggestions that Senator Shoemaker has made.
I'm lost. What are we voting on right now?
We're voting.
What are we voting in respect to the Multnomah County amendment?
We're voting to include them in the bill in the conceptual way, including at least your two amendments, and maybe more. We'll.
But to include them in 562.
Right. Okay. Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Brodmann.
Aye.
Drensky.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, we've got to work on these and see whether what they look like and put them aside. Okay. Do you have a pleasure to include the written comments, and we'll send them off to rework the amendments of these?
What are those?
These are submitted by Corey Streisinger, Don Welsh, and Dave Fuchs, and they have, this is the line, page one, line 31.
Oh,
I don't know.
Handwritten ones.
Here they are. Well, I've moved those amendments into the bill.
Okay. Senator Shoemaker's moved amendments dated 4/11/89, submitted by Corey Streisinger. They go on page 1, line 31, and they have to do with the preventative measures and the conditions that protect the best interests of the child or community. Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Okay, we have a pieced together bill, which we now need to go back and rework with staff and see where we come. It's probably Senator Hill's discussion, which says that go back and work on it, folks, and we will be in touch with Brad Swank, and we'll be in touch with the people who have concerns about the amendments we made, and I think we'll take a look at that. Okay? I certainly don't think we're going to pass up this bill tonight.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I think Senator Shoemaker was waiting for me to move to request for moving the bill.
Why don't you give them the admonition to take their chairs with them to another room and work it all out?
Now we come to one that we probably need Senator Springer on, and this is Senate Bill 406, and hopefully we can finish up.
Is he around, Madam Chair?
No, he's down there burning.
They're
doing field burning.
No, the burning's going back up again. They picked that up. Grass burning.
Let's send a little messenger down while we're getting organized for ask Senator Springer if he can get away and have somebody chair the field burning.
God, I got this.
Well, I don't know what room it is, but go down and find Senate Ag.
It's the one with 1,000 people standing outside.
Room C. A. Room A.
By now you can look at the.
And what are we doing?
We're doing 406, which is the fingerprint bill, and you have amendments, Jack?
Yes, Senate Bill 406 is the fingerprint bill. There are amendments entitled Office of the Criminal Justice Coordinator, dated March 31st, 1989. There's a hand-engrossed version that's stapled on to the last page.
Have those been adopted?
No, they have not. These are new amendments submitted by Mr. Jackson.
And we're going to have Mr. Jackson come up and explain them. As I recall, Senator Hill had a fair amount of discussion of this, and so did Senator Springer. And we do want to get him.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Robert Jackson, Coordinator of Criminal Justice for the Governor. The amendments that I've submitting for the governor on the memorandum dated March 31st, 1989, are three. Line 10 of Senate Bill 406, we are suggesting that the language felony, the brackets around the language felony be deleted. The word crime deleted and insert or a Class A misdemeanor. We think that will then make it consistent with the other amendments which we are recommending later on in the bill, which are on lines 18 through 24. That provision, which we're suggesting as an amendment to.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you, before you get too much further into this, to sort of see if we can't get Springer.
Oh.
I know he has a concern about this whole thing, and if you don't mind, folks, to sort of wait, read it over, if you will, and read over the written submission of the amendments.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Shoemaker.
While we're waiting for Mr. Springer, there were a couple of other things that Robert Jackson and I discussed today.
I'm happy that you go ahead and explore those kinds of issues. I just want
okay,
to make sure that.
Okay, fine. And that was in line 12 and 13, that we go back to the standard that both the child and the parent. Or where do we end up? Both the child and the parent? Was that where we ended up, Robert, or was it just the child? But anyway, the point being that we don't want the parent alone consenting. That's not an advisable provision.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, what you're asking is for the bill to reflect the current status of statute for that provision, which would be parent and child.
Yeah, parent and child. So upon the consent of both the child and the child's parent.
What happens, Senator Shoemaker, what happens if you've got a child whose parent is not available, living in California, living across town, not sure where they live? I guess that's my only concern about that part. If you can't do anything without the consent of a parent, oftentimes some of these people don't have parents nearby.
Well, that's a good point. We could put in a child's parent if available, or words to that.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, if I may respond to that. The question then becomes, for what purpose are we making inquiry about the child? Is it for investigation, or is it for the purpose of intelligence? And if it's for an investigation purpose, then the provisions on lines 9 through 11 should permit fingerprinting or photographing of the child.
Okay.
Provided that there...
You don't need consent for that.
Okay. All right. So then, okay, if that's... If you're satisfied with that, that you can get what you need by moving in the direction that Senator Shoemaker is going, I'm not going to stand as long as we can make sure that if we think they've got a Class A misdemeanor there.
Okay, and then the other point was on the line 13 of page 2.
You got that.
Which speaks of the victim or a possible witness of an act or behavior. And this is fingerprints and photograph files shall be open to inspection by the victim or a possible witness of an act or behavior. And we discussed whether the word possible is appropriate there. I mean, either the person is a witness of the act, if the person is a witness of the act or of the behavior, and it's necessary that that person identify the child, then it's appropriate. A possible witness seems a kind of a loose standard that I think it means in the sense that the person may not be called as a witness. I assume that's why they use the word possible.
But I don't
see why we need it, and I think it adds an unnecessary or undesirable sort of laxity to the standard.
Senator, let me inquire of Jack. Do we need to have this in the classical sense of a witness, or do we need to define it in just a witness by someone who's seen something, who's observed something? And I think that's a whole lot
right.
Different than the witness in the classical sense. And Robert, you might want to respond, or we'll get Jack to respond to it.
Madam Chair, I'll defer to Jack on that. I think, though, that the term is obviously broader with possible witness. It would limit the scope of those folks who could review the photograph, actually. Fingerprints would be irrelevant. I would... The governor's position on that is we take none at all. It would narrow and make it a witness, narrow the scope of review.
I think we can just make clear on the record that we're using witness in the sense of someone who's observed something rather than someone who necessarily will be called to court. If that's the committee's intent, we can make it clear on the record.
Yeah, I would certainly.
Okay.
And with that, I gather then Senator Shoemaker is, and I'm going to get these kind of ready in concept, so when we would be to remove the word possible on line 13, is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think those, other than that, I think they're...
And the other specific wording that you finally thought with that on line 13 we're dealing with, or parents... Would you read that again so that we get it written down?
Well, we'd return to the former language on line 12 and 13.
Okay. Is that correct? Okay. Is that would be the effect of what you're doing?
So deleting the bracket, Senator Shoemaker, as well as the new language, is that your intent?
Right. But read, upon consent of both the child and the child's parent after advice that they are not required to give such consent. I have to confess, I don't understand quite what they mean, they are not required to give such consent. It's sort of a different question, but what does that add to it? I know
Senator
it's existing
Shoemaker,
language, but I just don't understand it.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, I believe the objective there is to ensure that they're advised of the rights not to give consent, that the counsel or they're fully aware of the fact that the child does not have to be photographed. Just language to that effect, I believe.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Photograph or fingerprinted, I should say.
Senator Hill.
Well, you know, I guess the thing that concerns me is that we just went through this little discussion about how children are different and how they're really your kids and all of this, and we said there that the parents, we do things to them because, what, they've done something against the parents. You may have some situation where the parent might want it done. I mean, why shouldn't, if we're talking about juveniles, and we just have this discussion about how they're different and how there's this in loco parentis thing, and here it is, the parents can't have their own children fingerprinted. I mean, there is a such thing in, as this whole tough love concept where parents are turning their kids in for various offenses. Now, I don't mind requiring both, but, you know, if these, are these juveniles or not? If they're juveniles and we can supposedly treat them like children, a parent should be able to say, take his fingerprints, his or her fingerprints. And that's what, that's the discussion we just had. So I guess I'm not sure what the, why there is a difference here in this particular situation. You might have a parent who says, this person, this kid is, I want to know if my child is doing something, and I want you to take his fingerprints, and if he's committed a crime, they may want to.
Senator Grinsky.
Maybe you'd like to respond to this, but I don't think requiring parent and child is practically workable. I mean, what we're talking about is you run across these kids out in the street somewhere or whatever, and just like those officers testified last time when we had this hearing on this thing, this isn't a deal where you can invite them back at their leisure in a couple of days after they've talked to their parents and fingerprints. They need it right now, and they may never see those kids again. And I think we're ignoring reality if we start talking about, well, get a hold of their parents and see if they want to do it. That's not the way it's going to work. The parents may not be home. Who knows what kind of parents they have? And if you ask them to do too many things, it's not going to be usable out on the street, which is where they need to use it. They need to be able to do it right now. Is that right?
Madam Chair, Senator Grinsky, the objective that you're seeking to accomplish can be accomplished pursuant to the amendment that we're recommending with respect to intelligence gathering. The ability, that is only one condition under which the provisions which you're citing, the provisions which we're discussing currently, whether we need the permission of the child and or the parent, is merely one provision under which the statute would permit the fingerprinting and photographing of juveniles. There are other provisions there. In addition to even asking the court to grant permission to fingerprint and photograph a child. So this, there's a laundry list here of options for either a law enforcement officer on the street, which pursuant to the amendments which we're suggesting would be able to do the intelligence kinds of fingerprinting and photographing all the way through the adjudicatory stage for juveniles, including, a least restrictive stage of just taking into custody and investigating. There's still provisions which will cover that. This is just one of the options.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, to read the bill. See,
well,
he's saying that there are a number
bill,
of things there.
The concern, though, is Senator Shoemaker was proposing, well, let's ask the parent, but what I'm trying to say is in some circumstances you can't do that, and if I'm not mistaken, Senator Shoemaker is asking, does that apply to all of these?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No,
okay, I didn't understand.
No,
your
only
question.
When it's a situation that you want the photograph of the fingerprints for some purpose other than investigation of a crime or one of these other reasons, which I guess would be... frankly, I don't know exactly when it would occur. If it's a gang situation, we got that under G. If it's something that's been already brought to the attention of the court, you've got it under F or A, pursuant to search warrant. If a kid has been transferred to the criminal court, you've got it under B. Investigation, you've got it under C. If the kid is under 10, then you can do it under E. And so this covers sort of everything else. And we've tried to think of the specific reasons why you think you will ordinarily need that information, and now you have a sort of a catch-all. Well, just in case, this is a kid that we got to look out for. We think we may have trouble with him in the future. He doesn't quite fit in any of these other categories. I assume it would be that kind of a situation, right?
Senator Shoemaker, or Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, I'm not sure which provision you're referring to. Is that the with consent of both?
Yeah, the child and the parent.
Sub D,
right?
It's a sort of a catch-all to try to, well, I guess it is. Senator Shoemaker,
I can't even guess as to the legislative history behind this, other than, once again, trying to attach parental responsibility for the child, I guess, where it ought to be on the parents. But I can't right now imagine other than holding both parties responsible for making that decision. Perhaps part of the bringing together the family to make the decision about child either needs to be photographed or fingerprinted. I'm not sure. I wasn't around when this piece of legislation was drafted, so history is unfamiliar to me.
Okay. Senator Springer, you want to comment on this? Are you ready to?
I just want to make sure I understand the motion or the amendment before I vote, if that could be restated, if that's before us.
Yes, well, we're discussing a really suggestion by Senator Shoemaker, and I think you can go ahead and make it in a motion so we can move on.
Okay, I move that lines 12 and 13 on page 1 be amended by returning to the present language of that statute so that it will read, upon consent of the child and the child's parent, after advice that they are not required to give such consent.
Madam Chair?
Senator Hill.
So I just want to ask them, so we can be clear, are you saying that even if the parent, by the parent, him or herself, wishes their own child to be fingerprinted, you're saying that that the child can basically veto that, requiring both of them?
That's what that says.
Yep.
Senator Grinstein.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the testimony where the officer said, this is the deal where we might be out on the street and we see a bunch of gang guys running around, and they may have absolutely no problem about giving us their fingerprints. It's something they can brag about to their friends, and we'd like to have that. I think that's what this is all about here. And this parent thing came up then, and he said that is not going to be workable. Because what it says is that a police officer under sub D can go up to somebody on the street and say, would you mind if I take your fingerprint? And if the juvenile agrees to it, they can do it. And that's what they want to be able to do. But if you require that officer to then somehow contact a parent somewhere, that is not going to fly. I just don't see how that's going to work. That's what this is for, I think.
Is taking fingerprints considered to be self-incriminating? I mean, is there some deep constitutional thing that I'm missing as to why you have to ask them in the first place?
Talking about photographs, too, just to make it.
Yeah, so I'm asking about the whole ball of wax.
Robert,
Madam Chair, Senator Rockman. There is no, well, let me back up. The constitutional provisions that would govern this, you have essentially a right to privacy, but once you're brought within the criminal justice jurisdiction, you surrender that. But that's based upon probable cause, generally speaking. Probable cause in terms of criminal justice jurisdiction, there are other reasons why in terms of employment. The scenario that Senator Grinsky suggested were, and also which was discussed at the hearing on this bill last time, where the police officer would approach some juveniles who appear to be gang members, the provision is covered in this amendments that we're suggesting. If the police officers are to...
G.
The amendment, amendment G.
Are you talking about the second page here?
No. Senator Grinsky, I think you have the different amendment.
Thanks. There's a
You don't. Senator Gursky, do you have the amendment?
I think I have one.
Okay. It's covered in G. The situation would be covered there. If there's a gang member and there's probable cause to believe that this person is essentially a member of a gang, then you can fingerprint him or her.
Are you talking about sub G, this typed in?
No, Senator Gursky, my memorandum of March 31st, do you have a copy of that?
So that?
Yes.
You're referring to sub G on your memorandum, not on the standard gross.
Yes,
yes.
I haven't seen that.
That's if the child's taken into custody, though. That's a totally different deal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the deal where the police officer's wandering around in the street, he sees people with red handkerchiefs hanging out of his back pocket, says, hey, you guys want to come over here and get a fingerprint? And according to what this officer said, a lot of them would probably be dumb enough to do it. And if we don't require the parent to be notified, he can go ahead and do that under the bill. But this is where you're actually taking someone into custody. That's a different deal.
Madam Chair, Senator Gursky, the issue of custody is the question of, you can technically be in custody merely by encountering a police.